It's time to chat to Peter Allam, our legal eagle on duty this morning. And Peter, very good morning. Welcome.
Yes, morning, Wayne. Nice winter weather again.
Indeed.
Cold yesterday, cold today, and it seems like it's there for the week listening to the temperatures driving in today.
No, it's definitely, yeah. I think winter's upon us as we head into sort of middle July going towards August.
Yeah. Still very dark in the mornings as well. Anyway. Our chat today is going to be supporting elderly parents, the legal duty of an adult child to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about the family responsibility of supporting children and the duty to support children. And, you know, in that regard, it's quite clear that becoming a parent instantly means that you have a parental obligation to maintain children. You know, that's the duties in terms of the Maintenance Act,
mm-hmm.
and it provides that there's a duty there to support a child, an obligation which the parents incur jointly and severally, not one parent and not the other. And, you know, their respective means are taken into account, and the duty exists irrespective of whether the child is born in or out of wedlock, you know, or born of a first or subsequent marriage or by mistake or whatever, the duty is there. In terms of the common law, you need to maintain children. And then it went further to say that if the parents cannot support, when we discussed that, we discussed the fact that the grandparents have a duty to support.
Mm.
You know, the duty of support lies with the grandparents and failing them, great-grandparents even. So
sure.
There's a duty to support children no matter what happens. It goes to parents, to grandparents, to great-grandparents. So that duty is there. But now what about the other way around, you know, supporting elderly people? And, yes, that itself as well, under South African common law, the duty of support between parents and children is reciprocal. So just as the parents must support their children and grandparents must support them if the parents cannot, children have a legal duty to maintain the indigent, well, not necessarily indigent, but parents that cannot financially survive. So it is the law and it is recognized in South Africa and very, very necessary. A lot of people don't know that. But, of course, it's the same as supporting a child. You know, the parent must also prove certain situations that they are living under before maintenance. And basically in South Africa, there are four key requirements in that regard. The first one is indigency. So the parent must be in extreme need or want, unable to meet the basic necessities of life, in particular food, clothing, shelter, medical. This is more than simply just being poor. The parent must demonstrate a genuine lack of basic necessities. There must be a stringent need for the basic necessities of life, not just that they are living on very little and would like some more money. It's not just there to be abused. So that indigency they're very strict with, and yes, one would have to go to court if the children are not prepared to assist or the grandchildren not prepared to assist. So the second one is that there is a legal duty. You know, the relationship must exist between the parent and child, creating a duty of support in law. Adopted children, once they're legally adopted, it rests with their adoptive parents as well. So, you know, as adoption terminates the parental rights and responsibility of the biological parents, so the adoptive parents step into those shoes, and yes, even if you're adopted, you would have a duty to sort that out. Extramarital children, they must support their mothers, but unfortunately, it does not seem that fathers are included in that way. It hasn't been tested, but the possibility exists that it could well become the biological father that would be allowed to put a claim in for support as well, but still to be tested. In our law, biological mothers have done, and grandparents have had cases where they've been assisted. So there is that legal duty. Lack of alternatives is another, you know, requirement. In other words, the parent must be unable to support themselves through work or other means. In other words, It's like the one above indigency. It's not just a matter of, oh, I'm poor and I'm eating bread and having coffee daily. That's not good enough. It must show that you cannot afford that, that the income is insufficient to meet the bare necessities of life. And that's not just food. It doesn't have to be food. It might be toiletries and things like that. It might be medicine that's needed. It might be to put a roof over their head. They don't have money to pay rental and they need support in that regard. So clothing as well. You know, they must show that the clothes are tattered and torn or not fitting anymore and that they need it. So your indigency and your lack of alternatives are two that sort of interwoven in what a parent, grandparent must prove to be able to claim maintenance from an adult child. Obviously, it cannot be taken from a child. So in other words, you can't say, oh, the child receives maintenance from the father of X amount and I want a share of that. My daughter must pay me a share of that. It's not like that. So it must be an adult child that you're looking to claim from. And then, of course, the ability to pay is the other thing that's taken into account. So you can't just say, oh, your grandparents or your parents need X thousand rand a month. You must pay that. You know, the child must have the financial means to support the parents. They have a right as well to come along and say, but this is my income and expenditure. I cannot afford it. You know, that ability is tested. So those are basically the four requirements, is that it must be indigency, it must be a legal duty, there must be a lack of alternatives, and there must be an ability to pay by the child. So those four are taken into account in the court cases that have taken place so far. And, you know, that's what it's all about. Limitations on maintenance where it's apparent, you know, it must be confined to, we repeat that. It says it all the time, that it definitely, that the support must be confined to basic necessities. So once again, I mentioned it's food, clothing, shelter, medicine, and maybe care in times of illness. You know, you can add that one to the ones that I mentioned previously. You know, they must have a look and see what the appropriate level of lack of support is that the parents have, what sort of level the child has and means that the child has. You know, for example, if the person originally led a high life and had money and all the rest of it and has squandered it on the casino or something like that, you know, it will be taken into account. All those factors are taken into account. Also, of course, if the parents had funds and were living, you know, comfortably and they now no longer can, they have a right to say, okay, so they were in an old age home, let's put them back into there because they weren't able to afford the monthly amount payable. And, you know, that's the type of thing that they can do. So, you know, parental maintenance are basically not the same as ordinary maintenance for children. You're legally obliged to support children and your spouse before you come to assist the parents, you know, if it is entertained by way of a court application where the child won't support. But these days, I must say that in a number of instances, I find a lot of people that come to me and give me their income and expenditure say, I contribute X amount towards my parents, which is very, very nice. So there is a lot of it in place already. You know, the court will have a proper look at it. They won't just say to you, you need to pay X amount. They will have a look at the income and expenditure. They will look at the income and expenditure of not only yourself, but your parents. And if you pay maintenance for a child, that as well. So you could find as a father that you're paying for your parents and you're paying for your child both ways, a possibility. It's there. Maintenance is there. It's an important part of life. So, you know, where children are involved, where parents are involved, where grandparents are involved, maintenance does fit into the picture. And yes, indeed, it's the same maintenance court that can hear all of that. So what happens and where do I go to? I've now heard the chat this morning and I need my kids to help and I've been begging them and they don't want to help. So the answer to that is you go to the maintenance court. It's as simple as that. You know, it's section 6 of the Maintenance Act that the court must provide an inquiry. So the parents must go there. They'll fill in the form like you know, single parents do, or divorced parents do, or looking for need from grandparents, and that the parents' needs and financial status must be put in place.
Mm-hmm.
The child's income and expenses and ability to pay is the response. So you'll serve the papers on the child, and the child has time to respond and set out all of his queries or reasons why he should not pay and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, then there's a proper hearing. If you can't come to an agreement, there will be a hearing and a maintenance order will be issued compelling the child to support the parent. I mean, that, as I mentioned, has been taken to court. There are decisions in that regard. And it's not something new. I think it's pre-2000 already that order was made against someone. You know, so the law recognizes that the support is a two-way street.
Mm.
If a parent is genuinely in need and a child is financially able to assist, the child may well be ordered to maintain the indigent parents. And likewise, the other way around, parents are there. Grandparents can be compelled to support children as well. So, you know, the legal obligations are there to provide dignity and to keep things above board. So if there is something like that, sit down as a family and discuss it, come to terms with it. You know, don't just leave it. You know, it's nice to hear that there may be two or three siblings, the parents are battling, or the parents didn't have proper pension policies in place. They're now retired and they want to live in an old age home. They sell their home and that's going to give them sufficient for their maybe food, daily food and clothing and things like that. But, you know, the amount payable to the old age home is a little bit beyond them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to see where children come together and say, okay, let's each contribute R1,000 and pay for mom and dad's, you know, living expenses in the form of their rental.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, that's very common these days. And it also happens a lot where elderly parents become sick and need assistance. You know, in the old days, I think the parents just merely moved into the home and were looked after by the children, put a burden on it, caused problems in marriages sometimes and things like that. But today as well, I see a lot of times where parents, not only parents, but where people are sickly and need help, and the family come together and sort that out. It doesn't have to be children. It can be other people, but there's no obvious obligation on other people to support. You know, I've never heard of sibling maintenance, so there's no cross maintenance by your brother or your sister. So it's there. The supporting of elderly people and young children is a legal duty that falls in line on the direct line, not on the other line. So, you know, the accuracy and soundness of the sorting out of maintenance is there. It's not just something, it's not something that you're legally entitled to. So if you're a parent or a grandparent, don't think, oh, I've heard this chat this morning, I'm going to go claim maintenance. It's not that easy and it doesn't work that way. We go back. You must show that you are indigent, that there's a legal duty, that it's a family member in the direct line, that you don't have any alternative, and that the child must have the ability to pay. So that's basically where we are this morning with the chat. Short and sweet, unfortunate, but that's where we are.
It's just an observation from that. Once again, obviously, depending on individuals' means during their working life, but it also shows how important retirement planning is, where, you know, through your working life, you must kind of think about what you're going to do and how you're going to finance those years that you retire. And with medical things being like they are, your retirement period could actually be way longer than you might originally have planned, and you could end up living longer than your money.
Yeah, I mean, quite often these days, and in a lot of instances, I mean, you know, people are living to 90, 100 these days more regularly. I mean, you know, when you don't see, well, there are still deaths of younger people, make no mistake about it. But a lot of people are living a lot longer than what they expected. A lot of people have not prepared properly. You know, I always say, I've said to my kids, make sure that you've got pension policies in place. I know that it's expensive, but don't get to age 65, 70 and you can't retire because there's no income to keep up your standard of living. And you know, sadly, when that happens, like you mentioned now, is that, you know, people haven't provided, so they no longer can afford. You know, they might have a house that's fully paid for, but there's the maintenance on the house. There's a motor vehicle. There's the maintenance on the motor vehicle. There's licensing the motor vehicle. There's paying the water and lights, paying the rates on the house, and all that type of thing. And also, you know, if you've got to the age where you may be too old to maintain your house and live in your house, and you want to go to an old age home, it's not cheap these days. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's an expensive item. Yes, you're well looked after. You can get into homes where you can get your meals and everything, but it's costly.
Right.
So you know, like you just mentioned now, make sure that you're well prepared.
And that's all part of planning, and obviously, you know, but, you know, also obviously depends on lifestyle and means and everything else that goes with it. But Peter, a very, very interesting topic. And if somebody maybe wants to get in touch with you, maybe they find themselves in an unfortunate situation where they've got to kind of take legal action against family members, which would be quite sad, but how do they get in touch?
They can find us at 6 Sansom Road in Berea. Telephone 043-7211018. I repeat, 043-7211018. Alternatively, if they just go onto Facebook, look up Allams, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar, add an S to our surname, the firm's name, and they'll find the chats there. We will ensure that they're up to date, as requested the other day. And then they'll find all our contact details there.
Great.
And they can feel free to phone in, make an appointment and see us. And, of course, always on your station as well, they'll find our details.
On the pages. Peter, thank you very, very much. Have a great week and looking forward to chatting next week, Monday.
Super. Thanks
Peter. Then that